Here's a space so powerful it allows an ordinary fan to share a cheer with the owner of a team, a platform where supporters understand intricate details of players' rights, a setting that bridges the gap between the dressing room and the grandstand, a space where tactics meet opinion, transfer news meet gossip, and the VAR system meets social media, a space for the football tribe. Le Coco. La Space.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Thursday, a beautiful one at that, and you are listening into Le Coco La Space, powered by Hollywood Bet. Yes, we are gathered here one more time to have a conversation about football news. Just as a quick reminder, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, which we're available on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. We're available on YouTube as well. Today, it is an interesting topic that we're going to be focusing on. First of its kind, we getting outside the borders of South Africa. And I feel so excited, to put it mildly, to say it's high time that we get to compare what it is that we do this side and what is being done on the other side. There is going to be a competition later on that's running. We are giving away an official La Liga match ball. And what you need to do, the rules of engagement, is that you need to take a quiz randomly. If you want to be part of this quiz, we'll ask you two questions relating to La Liga. Some of them have, they are merged with the PSL, and you give us an answer. Then, yeah, the person that gets two answers correct is the one that's going to win the match ball. It is a first of its kind, like I've said. The plan is to have an episode a month of this kind of topic to try and learn, to try and expand our knowledge, and not just limit it to the PSL. We're going to be doing things a bit different this evening. I see one of my guests is here. They've jumped in, and I do thank them for that. We are going to be touching base on some of the topics that we've followed on. We also have snippets from Mamelodi Sundowns captain Themba Zwane regarding their match this coming weekend. They'll be playing against Chipa United. We also took liberty to have a chat with our technical director, SAFA technical director, that is, Mr. Steenbok, to try and follow up. Because if you remember the last time Coach Dan Dance was in the show, what he said was that he doesn't feel that they'll reach the target, they'll reach their mandate, because the rollout speed of the courses doesn't match what the requirement thereof. So we took it upon us to have a chat with him, ask him what's happening, and try and find out, because we don't want to give it only one side. So we've asked him a question and he sent us a voice note. That will be the way in which we gather information moving forward. If a guest cannot be available, we'll get information, get them to send their voice note. And yeah, so our chat with the technical director went something like this.
You said already this year, By the end of March, we'll have had 5 C license courses that have been done already by the regions, you know. And also, end of the month, next month, during the end of 29th of April, we have lined up a B license, you know, strictly focusing and giving preference to Hollywood Best Super League coaches, to PSL coaches, national football coaches, and also the ex national team coaches and the present national team coaches. And then again, in July, August, we're going to have a strictly women's B license again. And then in December, we're going to have another CAF A license. And again, we might have 2 more, 3 more CAF B licenses, besides the 2 that I've already pronounced, that are going to be given to the regions. So as much as the number of coaches, I sleep well at night. I'm very, very relaxed. We have the numbers. South African Football Association has really educated a lot of coaches. But now what we are doing now, we're helping those who are in the professional ranks who are lagging behind. Because This must never be seen as a witch hunt, you know, but pass as a process of making sure that the coaches are capacitated. Let me just end on this note, the couple, to say, in the case, in case at end, already the ABC Municipal League, you need a C license. And this is without me. They've already done it already this season. In Safaswane, you can't coach in Safaswane without a D license. In the Gauteng Development League, last week, Sabuma Ludeke was prohibited from sitting on the bench in the GDL top 8 because he doesn't have a CAP D license. So already, GDL League in Gauteng, Safaswane in Gauteng, and KZN Football Association in KZN. Football Association in KZN have already pronounced on this, you know. So they're already implementing, you know, without any pressure from the TD. So we're asking that coaches do the right thing, you know, because a well qualified coach is good for the development of the game.
That is the voice of Mr. Steenbok, our technical director, shedding information on the progress that is being made with regards to the implementation of CAF licenses. It's, as you can recall, it will be mandatory moving on from next season. So it's important for us to try and keep abreast in terms of, are they meeting the numbers? Is there a the quota is being met? Because it will be unfair of them from their side to try and enforce something that in which they're not able to implement from their side in terms of coaches getting the knowledge, getting the know-how and affording them the opportunity. So he has confirmed that in the lower leagues, they've started implementing this without necessarily having the having pressure from SAFA. One of my guests is here. We are speaking the La Liga. Another guest will join in soon. And like I've said earlier on, we're giving away goodies. We're giving away an official La Liga match ball. That will happen later on at the end of the show. And as I've indicated earlier on, we also had a chance to have a conversation with Mamelodi Sundowns captain regarding their match against Chippa United. As you can remember, they were not able to play their match last night due to a request that was made by TS Galaxy as they were involved in an accident. So a chance to catch up on that and get questions forward. This is what we got from Captain Tembazwani. That's the mentality.
Captain Mangete, firstly, you haven't spoken since you returned from AFCON. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing well. And I'm just happy to be back in the team.
And then how are the guys in the team, including those that were at AFCON, despite some of them being injured?
Yeah, no. All I can say is so far so good. The spirit is high. Everyone is fit. Everyone wants to play. Everyone knows the task that we want to achieve as a team going forward. And we're a happy team. And we're looking forward to the next coming games.
You're playing Chippa over the weekend on Saturday, Lucas Moreira. What do you expect from Chippa United considering they won yesterday?
Yeah, no, to be honest, it's not an easy game. You know, whenever we play Chippa, they have that energy that they put. And yesterday they won. They got a good result. And we know that they're going to come at us with a full force. But for us, we're ready for them. We saw their game when they were playing. Obviously, from tomorrow, we're going to analyze them and try to play for them and try to win the game.
And what can you promise our supporters? Is it an attacking game, enterprising game? What are you going to promise?
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be an exciting game. A game of good football, and a game that is a must to watch, and it's going to be good football.
And then yesterday your game against TS Galaxy was postponed. Does it drop the momentum of the team? How does it affect you as a player?
I can say it drops the momentum, but at the same time, it's gonna give us the recovery as guys. To try to rest because we've been playing back-to-back games. And we've got so much time to plan for Chippa.
And then umlazo to the Yellow Nation for Saturday. Babisa Kutubase Stadium.
Yeah, no, asking them to come in numbers is always feel good to see them come in numbers and always singing for us. It's always feel good, man, to see them in the stadium.
Yep, that is captain of Mamelodi Sundowns, Tembazwani. Like I've said earlier on, we will try if we are not able to get a guest to come into the show, what we will try and do is try and get your questions across to the guest, and they more than welcome to send their voice notes, because sometimes we experience issues of time and we still don't want to lose on the message. My guest is here, Mr. Keshen Sport. I'm just getting my second guest to join in. They are having issues with regards to their connection, but we'll sort it out. We've sorted out many connections before. And I'd also like to have your input, ladies and gentlemen, with regards to the topic that we are having this evening. It is a first of its kind. We're moving away. We're not moving away. We'll never move away from the PSL. For the first time, we are moving outside of the borders of South Africa and discussing a league, outside the borders of Africa and discussing a league in Europe. And we are a footballing nation, I hope. And it's only fair that we get to know and understand what is happening on the other side. Nqobile, I see you in the space. I'm going to ask you to, if you're not able to get the mic, I'm going to ask you to please kindly leave the space, come back in and join in. And as a listener, then I'll be able to send you the mic, because I've been trying to send you the mic for some time and it seems like you're not able to connect. Ladies and gentlemen, please DM me your questions. Anything that you'd like to know about the La Liga, please do. It is the first of many series, I hope. The plan is to try and have them the first week of every month. And with the guys from La Liga, we were fortunate to have some sort of discussion to say the South African market is eager on listening to La Liga, and they're more than willing to give you guys an ear. So yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Ligokola Space powered by Hollywood Bet. DM me your questions, post your questions on the timeline. Your suggestions are also welcome. Nqobs, I see you in the space. I'm trying to send you the mic. You're not able to get the mic, so I'm going to ask you to please leave the space and then join back in afterwards. In the meantime, we also have Enrique. So two guests are going to be joining the space. We have Mr. Enrique from La Liga. He's a delegate he's in charge of the Southern African region. So La Liga is in our space. What is it that they're doing in our space? What is it that they're trying to achieve? Because we've seen Bubi Tumelo Rabale going to Spain. We've seen some of our, we've seen Teco now going to Spain. We see a lot of movement that's happening towards Spain, and it's only fair to try and understand why it is that we're seeing such, and what is it that they're trying to do, and how it is that they can help our football. Because another thing that we're witnessing, is the popping up of, when we have these academies that are popping up. That's something else that we're witnessing. So that's the conversation we're going to have. That is the chat that we're going to have. And I've sent Mr. Nqobile a message to leave the space and join again. Mamposa, I've also sent you the mic in the meantime while we wait for Mr. Nqobile to join the space. And yeah, so that we can have this conversation. Otherwise, if they're having a problem, I'm going to have plan B. We always have plan B on this side. We have our WhatsApp conversation and the conversation has to carry on. Okay, I see one of my guests is here. I see Mr. Enrique is here and I've accepted him. Nqobile, I'm going to ask him to leave the space and then join back in again. He's left the space. One of my guests has joined in. Mr. Enrique. Good evening, welcome to the space.
Good evening, thanks a lot for having me.
when I announced that we're going to be speaking about La Liga, the first question I got asked on the timeline was that, are you going to be conducting the interview in Spanish? Because I take pride in knowing different languages. And I was like, hey, maybe I need to start learning Spanish as well. Are you offering your services in teaching me, Mr. Enrique?
No, of course, more than happy. I mean, I just need to put you in the same class as my wife. She's also trying to learn Spanish. So I think she actually needs more students to be with her so she can actually put the effort into learning it. So that actually might work for me very, very nicely.
No, I'm happy that at least now I'll be able to move with it, knowing the language, because I just have a feeling that this is going to be a great relationship. I have a feeling that the lessons might come in handy the day that I decide to go to Spain. And thank you very much. And thank you for very much for taking your time and coming here and educating us.
No, I mean, more than happy. If anything, it's a pleasure for us to be in this space. We feel as excited as you are, and we, again, very looking forward to not only doing this one, but seeing many of these ones happening throughout the upcoming months. As you might know, we have very busy ones. The league is in a very, very, very interesting moment. In April, obviously, we're going to have a Clásico. Next weekend we have Barcelona playing against Atletico Madrid, which is also a great, great match for all the La Liga fans. So yeah, no, I mean, again, very excited to be here, very excited to share my piece of knowledge with everyone in this space, and obviously also to hear from them, because to be fair, since I came to South Africa almost 7 years ago, it has been beautiful to experience how people experience football on this side. It's always very interesting to listen to how they think about the league, what is their knowledge, and although most of them, I need to say that there's a strong Real Madrid and Barcelona fan base. Every year I see more people talking to me about Sevilla, they're talking to me about Real Sociedad, obviously Atletico Madrid. So in that sense, it's beautiful to see that we slowly but slowly finding a little place in football fans' hearts.
You mentioned that you've been here for 6 years plus. That's a long time ago. What interested you in coming this side, if I may ask? Because I look at 6 years or so ago, and that would tell me that you were here like around 2018, 2017 plus. A lot of interesting things. The World Cup had happened at that time. There's been a shift. The league had grown. We had not acquired the new sponsorship yet, but it was just pre-COVID. And what do you make of the time that you've been here and the passion that you see within the people and the love of football, and comparing it to Spain without necessarily having to compare, but because you've experienced two different worlds and with a common denominator, what is it that you would say you've noticed on this side?
Look, from my side, going from the top, I was in a process at that stage. La Liga was looking at this stage, we had a few offices around the world, because we were very working hard on expanding our brand. We understand that it's not only sending our broadcasting rights to the local broadcaster and call it a day. If we want to improve, if we want to connect better with our fans across the world, we need to be there. So at that stage, La Liga was doing this huge effort to hire delegates to send them to many different countries across the world, specifically in Africa. We have one in Morocco, Egypt, Tanzania, Kenya, Cameroon, Ivory Coast. We have a small office in Nigeria, Angola, and the main office here in Africa. So it will be here in Johannesburg. I applied for the process. I have experience on living and working in Germany, so I thought that was going to be my future. But then I had a meeting with them and they were like, look, we really think you will fit very nicely in South Africa. And it took me a couple of minutes because I came to this country knowing very, very little about South Africa. I only have over here a little bit about the history of the country. So I'm very unsure because I did know so little about the country. But I was in for it was a moment in my life that I really was looking for that challenge. I really wanted to say, you know what, why not? Let's try, let's see what happens. If I'm not really set up, then I will look something else. And yeah, now my wife is South African. We have a little Pan-African boy. Well, so it's working. I can say it's working.
Definitely.
But when your question was about the passion for football, And it's always, something that we tend to say from La Liga standpoint, and here I think South Africa in that sense is the perfect example. We always say that, we consider ourselves the best league in the world because that's how we look at ourselves. But we also understand that you fall in love with football locally. You fall in love in football because you can go to the stadium, because you are going to be able to, you have your team that is based, Europe is more based in your city. Here is, I think it's more like a family thing. But you get that moment of, my family's a Casetes fans, I'm going to become a Casetes fan, I'm going to be able to go to the stadium. I might even, because I have been playing football when I was a little one, I might know some of my colleagues making their rounds to be able to make it to the first team, or at least being in on that high division space. So yeah, we are never going to be that. We are never, and that's not the point. That's not our objective at all. What we want to be is when you have already watched your PSL and you're supporting your PSL, and that should be always the first choice of football in any country, your local league, then we want to be a good alternative for you. If you want to watch more football, then here we are. We have great teams with great history, with many Champions League, Europa League, you name it. With also very different backstories, different identities among the different clubs. So I think we just bring a different source to the whole football plate.
You mentioning, local teams, and I like that. That gives me an opportunity to try and be sneaky and ask you do you have one South African team that you support?
Now you're being very sneaky. I would love to say I do have one, but it has, I have gone through different phases, and I think I'm still kind of like exploring them to a certain degree. I used to, when I was a teenager, I used to listen to a lot of indie rock music, mainly British music. So I was a big fan of Kaizer Chiefs. When I came, I didn't know the link with the team in South Africa and Lucas Radebe. I didn't know anything about that. So when I came here and I heard about the name, I was like, hold on, this must be my team. But also I landed here the year that I think was Midwest Beast won the league. So then I was a little bit very keen to know more about this very small club from a varsity. To me, that was something I have never experienced, to go to a varsity to watch a first division game. That was very interesting for me. But Orlando Pirates, the way the fans are on the stadium, I think that's that to me, I can relate to that a lot. The way Sundowns are being such an amazing champions, also very interesting for me. Cape Town City, they have also this very specific approach to how they want to position themselves and how they work with the local fans. I don't know. Again, I'm a Zulu, being the call for all the Zulu nation to be behind one specific club. I think there are many different things that I really like in South African football.
I like how you politically answered my question, but it's fine. I'll let it go. the objective is to try and find out the strategy of the league, and try and learn as much as possible. Yes, we will go into teams later on. Yes, we will go into the league and how it is that they do things differently. But the main objective of this first episode, first of many, should I add, is to try and find out. So we do have Nqobile joining on the other line. Let me just take this moment and welcome him. We do make a plan to have all our guests present. Nqobs, welcome to the space once again, my brother.
Box, thank you so much for having me. I don't know what happened with the technology. Every time, this didn't happen to me the last time I was on the call.
And you've been here many times, eh?
Many times. Thanks for having me. Good evening to everyone listening. Good evening, Enrique. To everyone else who's a popular or consistent listener of the Coconut Space. We know sometimes people don't comment or post, but they're also listening.
Yeah, and we appreciate the listeners. Enrique, let me start off with you. and just try and find out how La Liga has strategically like approached its expansion into Africa.
Well, look, again, there are many different things, but usually we put it down to three main areas. So obviously the first one, we have already a fan base. We have had a fan base for years in Africa, but we want to be able to learn from Africa. We want to understand how our African fan is. And that's, we understand that it's very different when you are in South Africa, when whether you are in Angola, where you are in Kenya. The taste for La Liga is there, but also the way it's experienced or the way it's looked at, it's slightly different. And everyone wants to feel connected when you are, when you have that relationship with a brand. You want to see that also the brand has certain degree of trying to be a bit closer to you. So there's a lot of it when it comes to progressing and trying to expand our fan base. And that comes from creating relatable content, trying to spotlight our African talent in our league, trying to also every now and then bringing back stories of African players that have been in the league, from your obviously Samuel Eto'o, Kanute, to locals like Benny McCarthy, Quinton Fortune, or Nassif Morris, to name a few. So, and that's one part, obviously. So, just trying to connect, just trying to see how we can be, how we can walk the extra mile to be, to feel our local fans, our African fans, closer to us. Also, while doing that, obviously, there's an aim to try to expand that community, trying to make it larger and trying to bring, at the end of the day, more viewership to our games. Because at the end of the day, we want them to not only fall in love with our Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, but also have a strong look at your Villarreal, Real Sociedad, Athletic Club, Seville. I think there, in that sense, we have, again, a very nice variety of clubs to fall in love with. And lastly, but very obvious at the end of the day, and Mobile, as a great sports business analyst knows, there is always the component of being close with your partners. SuperSport is our most important broadcaster in African soil, not the only one. We have SAP in Angola, we have Canal Plus for the French countries. But SuperSport for us is a very, very special, very important, not only because the amount of subscribers that they have, but also the reach that they have across the continent and the way they treat us. That's extremely great for us. And we feel in that sense very grateful for that relationship.
And Mops, you know, Enrique is mentioning African countries, and that gets me excited. I'm not going to lie. The fact that it's not just us, he's mentioning it, he's mentioning broadcast partners across the continent. So I just want to find out from your end, Mops, if we could highlight like some of the milestone engagement within those countries. You know, I mean, he's mentioned the opening of offices. Is there more? Are there academies? Is there something that we can look forward to?
Yeah, so in terms of just adding a little bit to what Enrique said, I mean, the deployment of delegates across countries started in 2017, and in as far as I'm aware, La Liga is the only league with physical offices currently based on the African continent. There are other leagues who sporadically have activations and events, etc., etc. But it's the only one that's physically currently based in Africa with delegates in Southern Africa, which is Enrique. It is delegates in Central Africa, North, basically all across the continent, with the physical presence here. Beyond that, there's the obvious thing of having individual teams who have also set up academies here. You think of Real Betis, who had who have a permanent academy in Zimbabwe, have had camps in KZN. You think of teams like Espanyol. You think of, you know, so there is an effort to physically be on the continent. La Liga has an annual thing called La Liga MVP, where they celebrate African players in La Liga. Mm. You know, there's beyond all the other leagues. I think La Liga is the one that actually tries physically on the ground to be here and to say we are here. There's obviously an understanding that culturally there are differences, time zones, there are differences, but you know, having Africans here, like for instance, right now I was invited by La Liga recently, towards the end of last year to the announcement of a new MD for La Liga, who is African from Cameroon. Mm. And yeah, I mean, all of those things count, you know, because Africa is very proud. Africans want you to be here. It's nice to pay lip service from Europe, but if you're here in Africa and actually physically, you know, participating in events, I'm going to Cape Town next week, for example, at another event where La Liga is going to be unveiling something. I think Enrique can speak about that. But being physically here in Africa means a lot, and I think that that people are grateful that La Liga is here. There's always going to be competition with other leagues, but yeah, it means a lot to Africans to be here. I can talk about the broadcast element as well, especially because that's my forte in terms of the research side. But in terms of the continent, La Liga leads in terms of engagement across digital and social media. They have the highest number of followers. Mm. La Liga globally has over 100 million followers across their social media channels, and all the La Liga teams, in terms of the number of growth, La Liga has grown the most. And I think it also is testament to the fact that they make efforts to go physically to places and be physically based in those in those countries, and it's paying dividends. The there will always, you know, obviously always be a challenge in that, you know, La Liga's you know, came to Africa. I think it was quite a bit later than other leagues, for instance, and so on. But I think over the past sort of decade and a half, there's been real progress towards getting Africans more understanding and appreciative of the Spanish league.
You know, and Enrique, Ngobs is mentioning the MD being African, you making inroads into Africa, and that's great. And as a fan, I get excited when I hear that, but you know, there'll be times where people would ask, but yes, it's all right to be in a country. Yes, it's all right to be in a continent. But what is it that you're doing? So my question would then be, do you have any collaboration that you formed, probably maybe with a local football federation in any of these countries?
Oof, we have a lot. happy for us. We have a lot. Just to mention a few. We have collaborated with COSAFA in multiple times in the tournaments, and that I'm particularly quite happy about, because the reach that COSAFA has obviously in Southern Africa, and how beneficial it is for all the national teams to have that platform in order to be able to compete and not only on the first national team, but on the 17 and the 19 categories, that and both for boys and girls. I think that's something that I'm very happy. So with them, we have done multiple workshops for not only for the head coaches, but mostly for grassroots levels for the technical side from the federations. We have done with them trips to Spain for best players to have the experience of going to a La Liga team and be able to train and see how the counterparts work on their skills and work within the team, which I think is always quite eye-opening, mostly because it's one of those scenarios where the gap technically might not be that far, but sadly, the infrastructures are slightly different when you compare African clubs and federations when you look at La Liga teams. Beyond that, we have also done specifically with Angola, I think one of the most breaking projects in the sports industry, which was a full consultancy exercise with Petro de Luanda. Petro de Luanda is one of the biggest teams in Angola, and depending who you ask,
they know it here. I can confirm that they know it very well here, especially Sundown supporters.
So there was a strong consultancy project with them on marketing, on understanding the fans, on how they can leverage more that relationship. I know also other projects has been run with in Nigeria, with the first league in Nigeria and also the women's league in Nigeria. Pretty much everywhere where we go, we want to be part of the football fraternity. It's always a weird space to be in, because there's always the question of, yeah, but we can be seen as competitors. We can be seen as, no, but you want to steal our fans, and that goes back to my first point tonight. It's like, we are not here to do that, because we are never going to be you guys. We are never going to be the PSL. We are never going to be sadly not anymore because of the situation, yeah. But Bloemfontein Celtic fan is going to, I think they are still Bloemfontein Celtic fan. They are still not moving anywhere else. But we are never going to be that love or that entity for a football fan. We just want to be an alternative for them, and a great alternative for them when they want to watch more football. That's pretty much it. And because we all have our different identities, we are not scared of sharing knowledge. We are not scared of sending, and that knowledge again goes anywhere. It can go from marketing side, it can go to the audiovisual side, it can go to what we do in terms of privacy and anti-piracy when you look at the broadcasting rights. Mm-hmm. It's in many different spaces that sharing that knowledge is not going to make us less, and if anything, is going to make football at large better, and at the end of the day, a healthy football space is going to help everyone within the industry, not only obviously the rights holders or the clubs or the players, but also all the partners that want to come to the game, all the fans that want to enjoy the game. Just trying to make sure that we are all just enjoying the football and just talking about football rather than talking about anything else.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Coca-Cola Space powered by Hollywood Bet, and we are having a conversation on La Liga. I am going to open the lines where you'll be able to ask your question. In 5 minutes' time, I'll be able to open that. You're more than welcome to request and ask your question. The conversation that we're having that's very important for us to try and understand. We've seen the likes of Messi. We've seen the likes of Ronaldo playing in. We deem it as the biggest league in talent-wise in the world and football-wise. And I felt it's only important for us to gather here on a Thursday, as we usually do, and try and understand and unpack what's happening. Well, you mentioned the fact that you could be going to Cape Town. I don't know if I should give you back the question. Were you going to explain exactly what it is that you're going to be doing there, or I should give it to Enrique, because I really want to find out exactly what's happening, especially with La Liga. Can you please just give us a bit more insight in terms of that?
It's a bit of a difficult one, because the aim is essentially to I'll be coy about it without making an announcement on behalf of La Liga. La Liga is always aiming to improve the standard of and assist local communities where possible. There is an initiative which has been worked on for the past while, actually, across the world, but it is coming to South Africa. There will be an announcement very early next week around what it is and how it's going to help the local community in Cape Town. Definitely around youth development and youth sport, and how La Liga is playing in that space. And this is a space that La Liga is has played in across the continent, to be honest. As I said, I mentioned all of the camps by the various teams. We currently last week were on your show on the radio talking to two or four ladies who had been sent to Spain to go and train. There are currently two others who are at the Madrid Academy at the moment as we speak, who are junior players who are living in Spain and training there at the moment. There will probably be another cohort which is sent as well within this year. So there's consistent efforts towards improving the state of youth football wherever possible, in conjunction with other partners such as SAFA, COSAFA, and others. As Enrique said, it's not a competition. It's an attempt to assist and lend a helping hand.
And Enrique, he's mentioning, yes, I know he's been coy about it, and we will look out for the announcement, which will be happening next week. What I'm picking up from him is development, is grassroots, is your involvement in grassroots development. And that on its own has been the big talking point in the continent, has been the big talking point in the country. Your involvement in that and the project that you're working on?
I need to be fair on in this specific project. Although I'm part of the project, my piece has been extremely I'm just doing a little help from my side. My colleagues are Trust of the Managing Director, Ena, who is also working in the office as a project manager. They have been the two really, really pushing forward to make this thing happen. My colleague Natalie, who is the commercial marketing manager, even my colleague Mariana, who is also doing all the finances, they have been the ones really pushing and making this bringing over the line. So I need to give kudos to all of them because they are doing an amazing job on that. Yes, we are very, very excited, and I think I don't really want to unpack the whole thing because it should be announced next week. But I think the main thing is it's going to start in Cape Town, but there are parts of that announcement that goes beyond Cape Town. It's going to touch hopefully a lot of South Africa, and I think at the end of the day, we are. One of the things that I love from La Liga is that we really try to not be conventional, bring projects that are very different to other spaces. And although to a certain degree, there are certain, I mean, you can reinvent the wheel many, many times. But I think the look at this project, what it means, how it impacts, it's quite special in that sense, and I'm very happy that it's coming very, very close for everyone to know about what is happening and exactly understand what it means, because it's, for me, it's very exciting.
And let me stick with you here, because this week when it started, before I made the announcement that we're going to be speaking about La Liga, I put out a poll, and my question was that how many South African players have played in La Liga? And I must say, a lot of people did not know this. They got it wrong, and the answer is 6, by the way. And you're more than welcome to go check the tweets, and they'll be there. Their names will be there. Now, not only looking at South Africa, because I looked at those players, and it dates back to 1996, 97, around that time.
Yes.
And then it transitions and it moves forward. And I look at all the African players that have played in the league, you know. So I've seen how they've become prominent in La Liga. I've seen Samuel Eto'o. That was my love for Samuel Eto'o, Brother Yaya. I've seen that. And I just want to find out from you as the league, because these players are prominent. How does their presence contribute in the league's global appeal?
No, massive. And let me bring you And this is kind of like a personal story, but I think it reflects a lot for many of us when we look at any sports or any competitions. When I was a kid, Formula One in Spain wasn't really a thing at all. You would have like a marginal amount of the population that were aware of the Formula One, and they would be following Formula One, but most of us, we didn't really watch Formula One at all. And it was when Fernando Alonso started to play to race in Formula One, when we started to really watch it, and suddenly we all are very aware of all the improvements that you can do in the car, and how the rules were happening on the race and everything else. So having that local national hero that is succeeding in that such a big platform obviously pulls you to get to know more about that platform and pulls you more to watch all that competition. So for me, it's the same when you look at your Quinton Fortunes, your Benny McCarthy's, I think it was David Ndiaye who was there.
Correct.
Motong also was there. Obviously,
yeah, Sizwe was there.
Sizwe
Motong. So Enrique, you basically had our left wing back and our right wing back playing in the same team.
Yes.
At the same time.
And I'm still, because this is a small, beautiful place, I don't know if anyone knows this, but actually, Sizwe and David play one game with Tenerife against Atletico Madrid, and Atletico Madrid, it wasn't the starting 11, but they brought Quinton Fortune to the field. So that was the game with most South African players at the same time in Spain. So that does exist. I'm still trying to get the footage of that game. I have been trying to fight for years to get that footage, but that did happen, and I think that was a very special moment. But if anything, just on my side, it's a little bit because we are the league, we are not a club, and sometimes people forget about it, and it's sadly the reality. We are not a club. We are a league, and if anything, I'm just missing I'm really missing to have a South African representative in La Liga. I'm really missing to have a player that's from South Africa among all the other beautiful players that we have in our league. So hopefully sooner than later, because I think it's about time. Last one was obviously Chepo Masiela for Getafe. And if not mistaken, that's if not already over 10 years ago, it must be very around that number. So yeah, hopefully a South African player can get to that space. And to be fair, I mean, again, almost 7 years in South Africa, I almost feel this is home for me. So to me, it's almost like one of my guys being on in Spain. So yeah, very looking forward for that.
And you know, I echo the very same sentiments that you say. It's high time, and because I also always feel that the La Liga is a league that's more suited for a South African than and the EPL, you know. So I'm with you on that one. Let me bring it back in, because I want to try and focus on what La Liga does, you know, and I want you to try and elaborate in terms of, because I know Enrique has explained and you the project that you're going to be embarking on, and you can't go into details, you know, but besides the announcement, could you try like and elaborate on the efforts that La Liga clubs in establishing academies and based in Africa, you know, like how they nurture talent and move on from there?
I'll give you some practical examples because I think these are important. First and foremost, what La Liga clubs do, and I think Enrique mentioned a very important point in that. La Liga as the league doesn't, it can't force clubs to come to Africa and have a presence in Africa. But La Liga actively engages clubs and makes clubs aware of possible opportunities. The clubs themselves have depending on their various strategies, will also have engagements in Africa and come to Africa. To showcase, to either one, look for talent, because there's a lot of African talent, and it's not as easy for you to see that talent on television. It's a lot easier if you're here. So, for an example, a Real Betis Academy in Zimbabwe, which is physically based there, can have direct access to that talent because, you know, you're physically there. But beyond that, you asked about practical examples. So, as an example, at the end of last year, there was a camp in KZN where La Liga brought over some coaches to come and coach some kids over a 2 or 3 day period. Those kids go into a coaching clinic, and there's continuous refinement and continuous engagement with those coaches at those local areas, because it's not just the kids that go through training or coaching or assistance, it's also the local coaches, so it's knowledge sharing, right? Mm-hmm. On top of that, you have situations currently where there was a program called Future Coaching, which happened in before COVID, where Villarreal were looking for star players, potentially star coaches, and did a clinic. A coach was chosen. He was sent to Spain the first time before COVID, and then again over the past 3 weeks, well, 2 weeks ago, he was in Spain again as part of continued training, because there's an understanding that, you know, if you're going to train players over a once-off period, it doesn't help. You have to transfer that knowledge continuously, or try to transfer that knowledge continuously. So wherever possible, there's repeat engagement, there's continued engagement on the ground, either or knowledge sharing that happens for, you know, it doesn't always happen this way, but it sometimes happens over a longer period of time. You know the story of Umfundo Vilegazi, I think, and Jessica, yep, Wade, who were also sent through to Spain again for training. It's not to say that you get to Spain and then all of a sudden you become 10 times better. These players are really good players. It's playing in an environment which is, you know, with all due respect to some teams and so on, the facilities are fantastic. The coaching level is very, very high. And this is the consistent thing that comes back when we talk to players who have been to Spain or have had coaching, is that the standard is, you have to flick a switch, you know, because just in terms of facilities and everything that goes around it, it's off a high level all the time. And that's perhaps is the missing link, I think, actually, between Africa and Europe. It's not talent. It's what can you do to facilitate an improvement across the board? And, you know, a lot of the time we end up in a situation where it's individual players and individual stars, but when you put in infrastructure and programs in place to lift up the whole, then you all of a sudden start seeing greater results. So it's helping where possible.
And, you know, thank you for highlighting that. Enrique, he's given us practical example. He's given us names, and Fundo Villegas, I'm sure, one of the stars that is going to shine very brightly in future. He's already shining now. It's just, you know, everybody's eagerly anticipating what he's going to be doing next. I just want to find out from you, Enrique, specifically now, if you can just try and unpack it, because I know the other one we could not unpack it, but this one we're going to try and unpack it. You know, strategies that you've put in place to try and identify the likes of Fundo Villegas there, you know, to try and identify across, and I'm not only limiting it to South Africa, across the continent, your strategies in place that you've put to identify such talent.
I'm afraid I'm going to, because when it comes to talent, look, I do have a few examples in other spaces, but I just I want to give you two, because what Ovile was saying about doing these La Liga camps, we have run it not only in South Africa, but we have run it also in Kenya, we have run it in Nigeria, we have run it in Cameroon, And to me, it's always the same as Mobile was saying. It's great for the player to get the chance to be trained by a Liga coach, because they come with a knowledge that, or I won't say a knowledge necessarily completely. Maybe it's just a different style of how they put together the training sessions, how they put together the drills, how they do the warm up, how they do the how they finish the session, and this, and I really want to emphasize this. It's never to go against a specific style of playing. It's never against allowing or not allowing a specific player to express himself. It's much more a methodology for coaches to decide, okay, I want to make sure that my players are going to play this way, how I can make them understand the way I want them to play. If I'm making, I'm hoping I'm making sense, but it's much more, again, to show coaches how to reinforce certain messages and make it, and we tend to make it much more gameplay or game scenarios kind of drills, rather than just being very, very technical on something very specific. So I think in that sense, it's very adaptable to any countries, any markets. The same coaches that come to Africa, they will go the weekend afterwards to the US, and then the weekend afterwards they will go to China. So it needs to be always as a methodology that can be adapted regardless the skill of the player, regardless the condition of the training field, regardless of anything else. Just making sure that, again, it's all about the development of the player. And on the other hand, when we go to the clubs, I believe with the whole international expansion that Alia has done, partially is also to create platforms for the clubs to be able, as you were mentioning before, to look at what talent is available on those spaces. And in that sense, it's Espanyol with the academy here in Johannesburg, it's Celta de Vigo also with their academy, I think it's in Pereinig, so they're just south Johannesburg. Villarreal run camps in Durban in December. Betis did the camps in Cape Town, and they have the academy in Zimbabwe. We see more and more clubs putting their attention into Africa, trying to see what opportunities they have in this space. And at the end of the day, it's just that presence and that interest that they also create when you have an academy. Because I mean, we all have played sports to a certain level, some better than others, but to a certain level. So if we have played for a specific club, obviously we always have a little bit of that love for that club, even if you also support someone else. So I think at the end of the day, also it's creating that love spaces for other clubs to be able to be in that space and brand themselves to a certain degree. But I also know these clubs, many of the times, it's not only about coming to Africa and activating in Africa, but also being the link to allow those local players and that local talent to also go to Spain and get that exposure of, and you look, professional football or any space where you are in a sporting club, where you are dealing with athletes, many things can happen, from bad luck to injuries to anything else. So the amount of actual elite players that stay relevant for many years are very, 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 very small. So to me, although I would love to see from all these activations and experiences and projects to have 100 players from Africa and South Africa in La Liga, or in any other European or any other league, or even if it's just teaching them so they are excellent players in the PSL, for many of them, it's just going to be a life experience of going abroad or being, I mean, I have been in many spaces where I have been the first Spaniard that they have ever met in their life. I have been in many spaces that they are not used to foreigners. So I think also it's culturally beneficial for everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to get to the end of our show. I have put out a question for our prize.
when the space started, I did indicate that we are going to be giving away one official match ball Yala Liga. So do check out my timeline. Do check out. I've put the question there. A random person will be chosen, but the answer has to be right. So give me as many names as possible, as you possibly can. The question that I've asked is that I want you to name coaches that have either played or coached in both La Liga and the PSL. So you can comment on this, but because once the space is shut, I will not be able to see the answers anymore. Please do check my timeline. I've reposted the question. Enrique, let me stick with you because I want us to wrap it up nicely before I go. I take it to Mobs. How do you foresee then the relationship between La Liga and African football? Because what you explain it to me and what it is that you tell me, it seems like there's a bigger plan, and there's a plan for you to stay here even beyond the years that you've been here. Foreseeable future, how do you see the relationship?
For me, the at this stage right now, so short, medium term, what I would really love to see is us not only bringing our clubs and creating that space for them to come to Africa and come to South Africa and getting also by themselves closer to the fans here locally. What I really want to see is more engagements the other way around. So more engagements with clubs in South Africa, more engagements with the league in South Africa, even with the federation. We have worked with them in the past, but I think that's a space where there is a lot of knowledge to be served from both sides. There's still a lot that we can learn from PSL. There's still a lot we can learn from South African football clubs. And I believe we also have some knowledge to be served from our side to them. So that to me would be actually it's one of the there's something that we are starting to cook internally to on that spectrum. But by my interactions with certain clubs, we have done technical exchange knowledge with Mamelodi Sundowns in the past. We have had multiple interactions with Cape Town City many times. We have had good conversations with Kaizer Chiefs in the past. Like, we are trying to find a way in which our agendas can meet. And again, for us, it's all about just making football better. Just making the football space better. Just, again, being part of the football fraternity. And just making the space for everyone, thinking from the athletes to the fans to the brands that support us, to be all happier and just enjoying better the game, the most beautiful game.
Right, I really enjoyed this, but I wouldn't shut the space down before I give Ngobs parting shot. Ngobs, thank you for being part of the space yet again, with valuable insight. Your parting shot.
My parting shot, Cox, is it's collaboration. There is no I in there is one I in La Liga, but you know, La Liga is a collaborative entity. As I said earlier, I think the biggest and most influential bit is the fact that La Liga actually exists, and you're talking to Enrique on a South African number, not on a Spanish number, and you're talking to people who physically have a presence here. And I think that as long as that continues, as long as they continue to be African players playing in La Liga and having prominent roles in La Liga, because let's not forget there are a lot of very good African players in La Liga. The longer that La Liga continues to be here and continues to foster relationships, it can only be a good thing, because collaboration brings you know, it yields results. And yeah, I personally, well, you know, from the inside, I see all the effort, but I think from the outside, the greater community, the greater football community, will only benefit from some of the things that La Liga is doing and is going to do in the future.
All right, Rob, thank you for joining me. Enrique, thank you for joining me. Very interesting conversation, first of many. we are planning on having an La Liga conversation at the beginning of every month to try and expand and know more. I mean, we've seen our players being shipped out, playing in this beautiful country where they play beautiful football and we enjoy the El Clasico. And now it's time for us to understand and learn and exactly find out what it is that they're doing, what it is that their plan intends, and what it is that we can do from our side to make their lives easier so that they can make our lives easier. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for taking your time and listening in on the space. Do remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We are also available on Spotify. YouTube is also our channel. Search Lekokola Spacey. You will find us there. Lekokola Space without any spaces. That's our name. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Thank you to our sponsors, Hollywood Bets. Do also check out the podcast for Hollywood Bets. Thank you to La Liga. Thank you, Cash and Sport. Thank you, the listener, for taking your time and listening in. You could have been anywhere else, but you decided to be here. And I hope I've made your time with us as valuable as it would have been somewhere else.
Coquette.
Remember to tip the people that you love, right? I love you all. Cheers, cheers.
Coquette, so just...